thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
So, as you might have heard, and you may have visited our simulation center, we are starting nursing here at CIU. We're very excited about that. We are online RN to BSN, open today for enrollment, and then our four-year program should be starting next fall. So here at CIU, we're going to teach nursing as a calling and as a ministry. And with that, we're going to talk about how nursing relates to Christianity and to the mission of God today. So when students come into the nursing program, and if any of you are coming into nursing at CIU, I like to interview every student before they come into the program and ask them, tell me why you've chosen nursing. Tell me about your why. And I tell all of our students to write this down on a note card. And I tell them, you're going to need to look back at this when the program gets tough, when your days get tough, and also when you're a nurse, when you're working as a nurse and the days are long and hard, and you think, why have I done this? I could get an easier job. I could work at Starbucks. I could work somewhere else that might not be as stressful as it, although I think Starbucks is probably just as stressful. But you might want to, you'll want to look back at that, and you'll want to, I tell my students to keep that note card and remember your why. Working as a nurse requires a totally different set of skills and a different level of compassion. There's something called compassion fatigue that nurses experience because we're always caring for other people. We're always hearing their issues, their problems, where they're unloading everything on us. So I like to say that nurses who are Christians need to know if this is really what they're called to do. If this is really what your calling is to become a nurse, you need to be able to quickly discern if this is what is what you're supposed to be doing. In Luke 5:27, Jesus says to Levi, follow me. He doesn't say follow me if, and he doesn't say follow me when, or if this happens. He says, just follow me. Just get up and go. And the verse that this verse was revealed to me the first time that I was deployed into a disaster. So, and I'll tell you a little bit about that disaster in a few minutes. I remember thinking there was probably somebody who was more qualified and who was younger, more experienced than I was. At that time, I had two small children, a full-time job working as a nurse practitioner in a trauma center, and responding to the disaster literally required me to follow him, like to just drop everything and to trust his provision and his foresight. It became very apparent to me when I got there to the disaster that God had carefully selected that team. That we had anesthesiologists, orthopedic surgeons, lots of different people. And when we got there, I realized that God had chosen me to go because I was older. And I don't like to use the word older, but I was a little more seasoned, so I could make those prioritizations pretty well. And so if you're questioning if God can use you in a situation, you just have to be able to discern that. You always have to be abiding in Christ. And you have to be ready to hear his call. A fellow disaster team member of mine also tells me, she says all the time, you're not going to run the race that is set that you set for yourself. You're going to be running the race that God has set before us. So Hebrews 12:1 tells us that, to run the race that's set before us. Okay, I want to share some scriptures with you that I've used for support. The scriptures that I've used for support, the first one I want to share with you that can help you keep you grounded as a nurse, if you're working as a nurse. Heal the sick who are there and tell them that the kingdom of God is near you. Okay, that comes from the Luke chapter 10, verse 9. Many different cultures and beliefs exist whether you're caring for patients here in Columbia or on the other side of the world. And you may not be able to heal the sick. Healing in the fact that they may, you know, they're thinking they're going to be completely healed physically. But we can offer that spiritual and that emotional relief as well when we offer them the hope of Jesus Christ. Often I have patients who ask me, like, why do you do what you do? Why do you do this kind of work? And how do you work in these conditions? This opens the door for me to tell them that I'm doing this as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So you will have that opportunity to share that hope with them. The second verse I want to share with you is 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5 and 7. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from Jesus Christ. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. So I want to share a story from the field with you about that. On January 12th, 2010, a 7.0 magnitude earthquake hit Haiti, which is a little island down in the Caribbean. I know you've heard about Haiti now. There were over 300,000 deaths and 300,000 injuries additionally, and people were very displaced. So in that earthquake, we were working in a hospital, and there were about 100 beds and two operating rooms in that hospital where we were working. And the story I wanted to tell you was this little man here, or these men here, this older man he had many injuries, he had many broken bones, he had lost his wife in the earthquake, he'd lost his home. And one night, I'd been working about 18 hours, like just walking back and forth in front of these people in the hospital. And the little man called me over, and he said to me, I want to pray for you. And I said, pray for me? You're the one who needs prayer. You've lost everything. And he said to me, you probably have a nice home and a nice family, and you've left all of that to come work here. So you're telling me you've done this because you're serving your God. Your God must be real. And I said, he is real, and he is your God too. And we were able to minister to that little gentleman there and his son. And they turned away from their voodoo religion and became Christians in that hospital. So that's one of the stories I wanted to share with you. Another verse I want to share with you is Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. As nurses, we're going to see so much suffering and so many things that just don't make sense to us. And I worked in hospice care for a few years where all of my patients were dying. So I went to work every day and all my patients were dying. You can learn a lot from people who are dying. One of my patients shared this verse in Romans with me. He told me that the suffering he was having in this world was no match for the glory that he was about to receive. And an example of that was another patient that I had, a little lady. And when I admitted her into hospice, I asked the questions. I said, so if your heart stops, do you want me to start CPR, or would you like to die peacefully? And she said to me, she jumped up out of her chair. She said, don't stop me. She said, I've got a mansion waiting for me in heaven. And she described that mansion to me in detail. She said, I've just got one problem, though. And I said, what's that? And she said, I've outlived two of my husbands, and I'm not sure which husband's going to be in that mansion with me. So I went home that day, and I found out the next morning that she had died peacefully in her sleep that night. So she was ready for her mansion. She was ready to receive that glory. So when you're working internationally, or when you're working right here in South Carolina, you're going to enter, and as a nurse, you're going to encounter people with different cultures and different faiths, different beliefs, customs, practices. And awareness of these is essential to be able to provide the best care. And if you come into our nursing program, you're going to learn about cultural accommodation. And Madeline Leininger, she has a theory of cultural care, diversity, and universality. So this is really important. She identified three concepts: cultural preservation or maintenance, cultural care accommodation or negotiation, and cultural care repatterning or restructuring. Okay. For us to best serve these patients, we need to minister to them as nurses, and we need to be respectful of other cultures to build trust. Using interpreters that are in their own language is one way to build that trust. Another way that you guys are probably helping with that is the Operation Christmas Child boxes. Those things, they're not just toys that we're sending over. That's one way we build trust with these countries so we can go in and provide relief to them and provide medical care. We also need to be respectful of objections if they don't accept our medical care. It doesn't mean that we can't provide that. It means that we need to not go in and have the superior attitude that we're providing care for them. Okay. It is possible for us to share our faith in Jesus Christ while we remain respectful of their beliefs as well. Okay. Okay. And the last verse that I wanted to leave with you, I think it's changing. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and verses 33 through 37. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. This verse can also apply to nurses serving in ministry, too. We're in the midst of a major nursing shortage right now in a pandemic. And if you feel like you're being called into this ministry, I would love to talk to you. And that is all I have for you today. Thank you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.